A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take Tenfit Talmud, Pesachim Chav Ches, Pesachim 28A, pagination page 55, counting down from the top of the page about 12 lines. There's a two dots and then an abbreviation, Vav Ches Chav Aleph, which stands for Vachachamim Omrim, and the Chachamim say, Mefarer v'zore lo ruach, that you should crumble the chametz and then disperse it in the wind, as opposed to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you have to burn the chametz. The Chachamim are saying that you could simply be tashbisu in a variety of ways. As long as you get rid of the chametz, you render it destroyed, effectively destroyed, that no one else will pick it up and use it, so then it is the fulfillment of that pasuk tashbisu. Iboiluhu, so they ask the following question. Heichi ka'amar, how are we supposed to read this Mishnah? Where's the punctuation? Mefarer v'zora lo ruach, that in order to disperse it in the wind, you have to crumble it. Umefarer umata layom, and the word mefarer should also be understood after the comma regarding the second case when you throw it into the water, you should also crumble it before you throw it into the water. Odilma, or maybe, mefarer v'zora l'ruach, you have to crumble it before you throw it into the wind, because that's required, you got to crumble it before you toss it to the wind. But when you're throwing it into the water, you could just dump it in the water. You dump it in the ocean and let the ocean take care of causing it to disintegrate. You don't have to crumble it before you dump it in. A very, very practical shiloh. What is the extent that's required for the mitzvah of tashbisu to rid yourself of chametz? The Gemara proceeds to compare it to the case of Avodah Zarah, which also has to be destroyed, idols. Utananami gabe Avodah Zarah, ki hai gavna, a very similar dialogue. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi taught us, shochek, you grind it, v'zora l'ruach, and you disperse it into the wind. So typically, Avodah Zarah was made out of stone or metal, or maybe perhaps wood. You'd grind it, you'd put it into crumbs, and then you toss it to the wind. Omatil layom, or you could throw it into the water. V'iboiluhu, and we had a similar question. Hechikoma, what did he mean? Shochek, you have to crumble it, v'zora lo ruach, you grind it, and you throw it to the wind. V'shochek omatil layom, and you also have to grind it before you throw it into the water. And the word shochek is going on both the first part before the comma and the part after the comma. Odilma, or maybe, sochik v'zora lo ruach, you have to grind it in order to throw it to the wind. Avamata layom be'enei. But if you're throwing it into the water, you could throw it the way it is. The Gemara continues by clarifying how to understand it by chametz, and how to understand it by Avodah Zarah. Drop down from where we are, two lines. The first words on the line are Bo'i Pirur, and then we continue with Aleph Lamed Omar Le Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, Adrabba, the opposite of what you're thinking, Ipcha Mistavra. Let's see what Rav Yosef holds. Avodah Zarah de lo memisa, Avodah Zarah, that's not going to disintegrate, because typically it's made out of metal, stone, or wood, and it's going to continue floating or sitting in the water, and it's still going to be there, and maybe someone will find it eventually. So you have to grind it before you dispose of it in the water. In order for it to be considered disposed of, you got to grind it first. But chametz, when you have chametz products, demamis, they dissolve. Lo boi pirur. Rav Yosef says you don't have to crumble it before you dump it in the water. So the way Rav Yosef understands this, which is the way we paskin, that the perspective by chametz is that chametz does not require the crumbling before you throw it in the water. You would only require the crumbling if you're throwing it to the wind. Makes sense. If you're going to toss a loaf of bread to the wind, it'll just land on the park bench. It's not going anywhere. But if you're throwing it into the water, it'll dissolve. Don't worry. You're putting it in a situation where the normal, natural course of events will cause it to disintegrate. Now, I mentioned the case of a loaf of bread by way of illustration, and that really needs to be clarified. If you'll drop down to the end of the Gemara after a bit of discussion, I'm counting up from the bottom of the page about 8 lines, right before the new Mishnah, the Gemara makes a distinction. Habechiti, it depends if you're dealing with kernels of wheat. Habenama, or if you're dealing with bread. So Rashi tells us that in the case of chitim, in the case of kernels of grain, it requires pirur kalomar pizur, that you spread it around. If you were to drop an entire sack of wheat into the water, that would not be considered tashbisu, ridding yourself of the chametz. You have to make sure that it's spread, and that's the equivalent of making it into crumbs. However, when it comes to bread, the bread, according to Rashi, would disintegrate on its own and you don't have to do anything else. There are an additional 2 perspectives. Number 1 from the Rambam. The Rambam makes the distinction that it depends if it's chametz kosher, if it's chametz that's hard, that is not going to disintegrate in the water, then you would have to do pirur. You would have to do the crumbling. Otherwise, if it's something that will disintegrate on its own, then Rav Yosef's distinction that Avodah Zarah doesn't dissolve and chametz typically does dissolve would hold, and that's all you have to do for the chametz, put in a position where it will dissolve on its own. The Mishnah Brura mentions a different way of looking at the distinction between chitim and bread, kernels and bread. Mishnah Brura says that chitim, kernels, have to actually be crushed, because a kernel sitting in water it has like a protection of its own. And that's really what this is all about. Will the item continue to be protected or not? And there is a shita that you have to actually crush the kernels. It's not enough to dump the kernels and disperse them, the way Rashi says, that no one would argue that that's tashbisu. This shita holds that's still not tashbisu, because each kernel on its own gets the water, becomes chametz, and it's there. And they want you to actually crush the kernels, each one, in order that it should be totally dispersed and just become part of the water and become effectively nullified. So again, the statement of Mefarer Vizora Loruach, you have to crumble it and disperse it to the wind, and you also have to dump it in the water. And we asked, either method that we're describing, does the crumbling go on both of them? Or only if you're utilizing the throwing to the wind do you have to do the crumbling, but if you're throwing it to the water, do you not have to do the crumbling? And the Gemara really is answering, thank you for noticing. It's almost like the Mishnah was intentionally worded in a way that's given to commentary, because matel layom, throwing it to the water, actually depends. As the Gemara concludes here, habechiti, habenama, it depends if it's kernels or if it's bread, and depending on which shita in the Rishonim and how you understand that, it actually will depend. When you throw it to the water, did it have to first be mifurar, crumbled or spread, dispersed, before you actually threw it into the water? Yashar koach, have a great day.